Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. On Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Mag, the premier inspirational digital magazine for women since 2006. You know, my friends, I believe we'll all agree that during these chaotic times, fear is rampant. And while we need to respect our fears, we don't need to be crippled by them. And it's so important to know the difference between healthy and unhealthy fear, how your intuition can serve you during this time, and how to cultivate joy, yes, even in the middle of all this. That's why I'm super excited to have my friend Cindy Dale with me today. Cindy is an internationally renowned author, speaker, healer, and business consultant. And get this, the author of 27 books about energy medicine, intuition, and spirituality. All the stuff you guys love joining me for. Her most current book is Energy Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Chronic Illness. You know, Cindy has worked with over 65,000 clients from around the world and presented hundreds of seminars and workshops across the Americas, Europe, and Asia. And guess what? She's here right now with us. Welcome, Cindy.
I am so happy to be here. You have the perfect name for where we're going today, which is joy.
Yes, and it's one of my core leading life principles. If it doesn't bring me joy, it's out of here.
Amen. Because, and you know, I know for all of us, we sometimes have to go, okay, is it going to bring me joy? Maybe it's a little miserable right now doing the laundry, right? Cleaning the house. But you know, if it's on the path of joy, I believe that we can get glimpses of joy in the moment at the very least.
Oh, I agree. Because I used to think that I couldn't be joyful until something big happened. Like that was my thought growing up. And I realized joy can be found in a moment. Looking out the window when you're washing dishes and seeing a bird on a branch. That for me is a moment of joy.
Exactly. And it's so good that we're emphasizing how the small brings joy. I mean, I love like decluttering.
Oh my God, Cindy, I do too. I spent all weekend doing that.
I know. I feel so good when I drop something off at the Goodwill, or when I throw, you know, that makeup away that's like 48 years old anyway.
Oh my God, so funny. I was doing the same thing, and Dana even said to me this weekend, he goes, what are you doing? You haven't touched that drawer since we moved in. I'm like, it's time. I was doing nooks and crannies, and like you, it brings me joy.
It does. And especially during the time that we're in with so much strife and uncertainty, you know, I do acknowledge that fear is real. Of course, there are healthy fears, you know, but we can't let all the strife and all the unresolved issues and the question marks and the confusion and the reasons for panic get in the way, like of our own joy or those moments of joy either, can we, Linda?
No, we can't. And you know, for those listening, why don't we start with describing the healthy fear and the unhealthy, because some, all they know is fear and they don't know how to identify it under which, you know, where they are.
That's smart. That's a really important distinction, because I know, for instance, when I was growing up, I was always scared with an alcoholic, mentally ill mom and an alcoholic father. And I think a lot of us have had a background where we were so scared so much of the time, we don't know what it's like to be not scared, and or we may not even know that we're scared all the time. So healthy fear is that fear that gives us a message. And the message of fear is you are not safe. You need to do something. You need to go forward, backward, to the right, or to the left. And once we take that action, once we hang up the phone on that person who's threatening for us, or once we buy a different car because the one that we have breaks down every week or whatever it is, right? That's a real, truly not safe situation. When we take action, then the fear is supposed to go away. And if the fear isn't going away, then we're probably dealing with unhealthy fear, or a fear that's unlike, you know, kind of what the real scary situation is. And we need to take another look at it.
It's a great way to help us decipher what we're feeling in the moment. And one of the things for me is if I can actually feel it in my solar plexus, like that's when I know, oh, this isn't my vibe I want to carry around. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not relating to what's going on around me, but I still get to choose the energy I want to exist in. And a lot of the work that you do is helping people understand their energy and the power of it.
Exactly. And to know that we're, by our birthright, I mean, we have what I like to call an original signature. We come into this world as this beautiful blend of our spirit, our soul, our mental capabilities, our body, and somewhere in the mix of that is us, is who we are. And we are supposed to be able to, it really is like our truth, to be able to show up and be that self in every moment. And given that we can remember that or reactivate that sort of original signature, the, hey, this is how I feel when I'm really being me, we're able to evaluate what's around us and go, oh, that's a scary situation, so I'm going to not, you know, go there. Or we can listen to the message of anger, which is, I need to set a boundary here. Or the message of disgust, which is, this person or this situation or this food isn't good for me. Or maybe the message of sadness, which is, we're not feeling love, so how are we going to go about that? Or the message of joy, which is, oh my gosh, I love this so much. This reinforces my real self, my original signature. So I'm going to do more of that. So understanding our feelings is qualified by first letting ourselves know we are who we are and we get to be that. And then we get to make decisions from there about, I'm going to listen to this feeling and I'm going to go with it. But if something doesn't match up with who I am, I have to do something about it.
Yes, it's like owning, it's the power of choice, right? Like when I realized 28 years ago when I got on this path that I am not my thoughts, like that was major for me. Like, what? I don't have to feel this way. I don't have to choose this thought. That changed everything for me. And it comes back to what you just said, is I can choose my energy in any moment.
Yes.
That's powerful.
I can choose how I'm going to respond to something. And you're even insinuating this, talking about thoughts. I can choose my perspective. That's helped me so much. My mom died about a year ago, a little over a year and a half ago. And I spent 10 years really being the person to help take care of her. And we did not have an easy relationship. And she had lists of issues and problems. But over those 10 years, I learned, you know what, it's not about who she is. It's about how I'm perceiving her. It's about how I'm putting up boundaries. It's about how I'm choosing to be open-hearted and have compassion if she's doing something that would normally irritate or bother me. Like, I really was able to put my sense of power inside of myself, which has helped me enormously dealing with the tensions in the air right now, you know, the pandemic, the coronavirus, the riots, the indecisiveness we have, you know, kind of about who's a healthy politician, who's not, you know, all this stuff that's out there, right? You know, it's helped me just say, you know what, whatever that is that's happening outside of me, my base needs to be inside. So if I have a healthy fear that comes up that says, well, this is really scary, Cindy, you need to do something safer, I can do it. But otherwise, I can stay more distant from what's scaring everybody else, or figure out if a fear occurs in me, I can actually determine, is this really a healthy fear, or is this something else? Is this Memorex? Are these other people's feelings? Are these my ancestors' feelings? And I can decide what to do about a feeling that comes up or not.
It's so powerful. And for me, it's about helping our listeners understand that we can stop. You know, the best way I can describe it, Cindy, it's almost like a runaway train, right? It's like we jump on and we don't know how to get back off. So when fear takes over, it almost becomes a pattern. And that's how I lived for 35 years. And what you just described is almost like becoming aware that there is a pattern and then choosing to shift it.
Exactly. And, you know, I know now, like if I'm scared in the moment, like, oh, well, Cindy, you better not do that. like, don't go 100 miles an hour. You should feel scared if you think about doing that on the highway. So I'm not going to do that. You know, but if there's not a logic to the fear, it's like you're saying, it's probably a pattern. It's a patterned response. And you might have learned it in childhood. It might be something that was a coping mechanism. So you sort of developed it yourself. You might have inherited it. In fact, when we first went into lockdown months and months and months ago, right? I mean, for some of us, that feels like a distant memory from a decade ago. But when we first went into lockdown, I was first a little confused. And then I felt this panic inside. And I'm like, Cindy, do you really need to be panicked? I'd already had COVID. I had had it by the time we went into lockdown. So I wasn't really scared I was going to catch it. Neither were my kids because they had had it. But I felt this panic and I saw myself doing these silly things like getting too much toilet paper or buying too many cans of beans or doing this and doing that. So I was like, this is not a healthy fear. Because you're really not scared about getting this thing and you've got work and you're not being fired from anything and da 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 da. So I went inside and I thought like, so where's this fear coming from? Why am I responding with this terror that sort of I'm letting take over? And two issues came up. One was, oh, my ancestors, my grandparents went through the Depression. So when they went through a time of lack, it was really scary and they did need to listen to fear to make some better plans. And the second way that the answer came to me is, you know what, Cindy, everybody's in terror and you're just bringing it right into your body and feeling it along with everybody. Figuring that out, I could really block others' energies. I could be compassionate toward my ancestors, but say, no, thank you. I'm not in a great depression. And if I need to be scared about money or this or that, I want to do that in an honorable way where, hey, I can create a plan and then the fear can go away. And I immediately calmed down within maybe 3 hours of figuring out those two concepts. I immediately calmed down. I actually figured it out when I was in a grocery store and I put some of the canned beans back because I'm like, I have canned beans. I don't need more canned beans.
Oh my God, I love it. I love the toilet paper story too, because we were all wondering where it went, Cindy.
So it's my house. I think I have enough toilet paper for another year.
Oh my God, I love it, but I so get it. Because I think it, for me, when all those fears came up, I knew I was tapping into the collective fear because I am safe. I am a hermit by energy anyway. I live in the middle of the woods. It's not like I'm around a lot of people. I live in a small community. And when I felt the fear coming on at the beginning, as you described, I said, this isn't mine. I could tell it wasn't mine. So we're going to take a break and we're going to talk about that more when we come back. And I want to invite everyone to go to cindydale.com, cindydale.com. We'll be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, everyone. This is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on iOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Cindy Dale. And right before the break, we were talking about, you know, the moment you identified, Cindy, where that fear was coming from at the beginning of the pandemic, using that as an example. And I think it's where a lot of us are right now is what's ours and what's not.
That right? is one of the most important questions of life, right? I mean, what's ours and what's not? You could apply that to almost anything.
You know what? Now that you said that, yes, you can. And I'll use an example of, for me, as someone that lived with family anxiety for most of her life, up and probably till maybe 15 years ago, when I could understand some of the principles on a deeper level, I still experience it. But like you, I have those moments of awareness going, ah, this is where it's coming from. And then you can shift it. That's why I want this conversation today. For me, my honey is about to have his second surgery. Last year, he was diagnosed, two diagnoses in October. Pituitary tumor that was costing him his eyesight, and they found a brain aneurysm 7 days later. And in that time, Cindy, I could have, and he could have, gone into fear of what ifs, right? Projections. And all of that, and we both looked at each other, and I think we shocked a lot of people. People were following us, seeing the blessings journey on social media. We chose that we were not going to live in that energy. Even though there was so many unknowns, his second surgery is actually, because COVID stopped all surgeries, his brain aneurysm surgery is on October 7th. We are still choosing to stay out of fear and storytelling and projecting and stay in this moment, because in this moment he is well. In this moment is all we have. Do you find that just that mindset shift of not going into a story, or especially projecting? That was my biggest thing when I was young. I was always projecting the worst case scenario.
Oh, I'm so happy that you and your honey are able to do that. You know, and it's a model for us all that you're both in that place of I'm in the moment. I'm in the alignment, you know, with whatever the powers that be, you know, yes. that you reach toward and you accept help from. Because I believe when we're able to be in that place of now and in some level of appreciation, sure, we can have any feeling that we want, but ultimately we have to make a choice to stay in that place of alignment, which is what the two of you are in. You're in alignment with creator, or whatever word that
yes.
you
yes.
And that way, help can come to you. You know, when we go into like panic, when we project, when we do story, and we're basically just making up stories when we do that, it's comparable to holding our arms over our chest, right? You know, when we close down, cross your legs, you know, clamp your fists, hold your arms over, no one can hold your hand. And you can't be brought to a greener pasture, you know, kind of through life's, you know, kind of messages or signs or through your helpers if you're closed off that way. So you're making that conscious choice to stay open and to receive and to be guided. You know, from an energetic perspective, because I like to work with subtle energy. We have these energy centers, they're called chakras, and they're in and around the body. But the ones in the body run through our spine. And the center of those chakras are in the middle of our spine. When we project, when we try to figure out the future and what could happen, it's a little bit like our soul, which is supposed to be centered in the middle of us, pops its eyeballs out. It's sort of a gross image, but pops its eyeballs out in front of us. And that's where the future is in front of us. But it's scanning for all these possibilities. Hardly any of them are going to happen. They're not real. They're fantasies. They're projections. Some people live a little bit more in the backside of themselves. They're always looking to history, to what happened in the past. So they're sort of turned around in their body and looking backward in time. And so they're going to, oh, the same thing's going to happen that happened when I was in fourth grade. Or see, when George Washington did that on Valley Forge, you know, this is the same thing the country's going to go through or whatever. Well, the truth is most futures aren't going to happen the way we believe they are when we're looking at possibilities. And the past never repeats. It never repeats. Every moment's new. So that place of power and grace and receiving is to do exactly what you and your husband are doing, which is to be now and here and open to guidance and receiving.
I got to tell you something you just said that just really hit home for our journey is about being open to blessings, right? Last year when we went through it, like everything happened very quickly. November 4th, they find the tumor that was causing them to lose his sight. November 11th, while they're looking at the tumor, they find the brain aneurysm. In this moment, it was just organic for us. Maybe that's after 26 years together and we have the same belief system. What we did, Cindy, was say, we're choosing to believe in the power of miracles. We're choosing to believe in possibility. And guess what? I could spend 2 hours telling you, and they were all recorded on the journey on social media, but the blessings, the miracles, the synchronicities, all the way down to names. And the person calling us from the doctor's office was the same name as the nun who bought a house next door, who gave him a blessing on the way to the hospital, right? It was amazing. And the more that happened, Cindy, the more we said, oh, we just let go and leaned back and said, this, we are not in control. Only the divine is. Only the divine knows where this surgery is going on the 7th. We just trust in the divine and trust in the doctors. And whatever the outcome is, we will deal with it at that time. But we're not going to project it. And that's what I want for everyone. Why are we projecting everything and taken away on now? I want my now with him.
And I've done so much 12-step program work, right? Al-Anon and adult children of alcoholics and this and that and the other thing. And you know what I learned through those years is exactly what you're saying. The phrase that they use in the 12 steps is let go and let God. But it's the same. It's exactly what we're talking about. Just surrender. Yeah. You know, it's in the hands of the divine, and we get told or shown what we need to know on an as need to know basis, because otherwise we'd probably screw it up.
I love that. We get told to know on an as to know basis.
Yeah.
I find that peaceful. Like it's like that, I don't know, that statement that says, just take the next step, even when you can't see the full staircase, right?
Right. And just do it. And, you know, sometimes, you know, our guidance will give us little glimpses, but I'll tell you, I've learned that that only happens when we have to have an inkling of an outcome so we do the work. For instance, I am very close to my youngest son. He's 21 years old. He's a baseball pitcher. And every so often, I get a dream about his future. I don't ask for them. They just come. Like about a year ago, I got a dream about something that was going to happen in 2019, that in November, December of 2019, his pitching would be really bad. I mean, that's really the upshot of the dream. I just was showed that. I was, you know, shown how it would work out, that by January 1st, he'd have figured it out. And here's the two things he needed to know. Like, isn't that bizarre? Honestly. So during those 2 months, he relied on my dream. He was like, Mom, are you sure that this works out by January 1st? Because my elbow hurts, this hurts, I can't pitch, I can't get to 80, much less 90 or whatever. And I said, I got the dream. Just keep going at it. You know, see this person, do this person. January 1st, it came together. And he was like, oh my gosh, it was true. And then he goes, can you get more dreams? And I'm like, well, when I get one, I'll let you know.
Yeah. It's a custom order for a dream, please. No, it's my trust in the divine has always been strong, but since last year, deeper. It's this flow. It's this letting go and this surrender. And this conversation for our listeners, even with the chaos in the world, Cindy, it's possible to find joy. It's possible to still be in flow, to trust, to lean in. What are some of the things our listeners can do? And you know what? We'll go to break and then we're going to ask this question. The question will be after break is, what is something someone can do or shift when they find themselves in fear just to help them go up a couple notches, right? Closer to trust.
Great.
And I'll be back in a moment with Cindy Dale. Be sure to visit cindydale.com. She has so many books there, including her new book, Energy Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Chronic Illness. We'll be right back.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Does the energy in your life or home feel stuck or stagnant? Your home surroundings may be impacting your mood, energy level, and even how much money you attract. It's time to clear the energy blocks in your immediate surroundings so you can attract enhanced health, happiness, and abundance. Carrie Miller, feng shui expert, speaker, and coach, and the author of Feels Better, Flows Better, Feng Shui for Inspired Living, merges her sacred skills in feng shui, space clearing, aromatherapy, and coaching to support her clients in making subtle changes to their home that allow energy to flow and create spaces that are comfortable, functional, supportive, and inspiring. Whether you're called to clear one room or your full home, Carrie offers feng shui and energy clearing services on-site or virtually to meet your needs. Learn more at carriemillerconsulting.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
This is OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. So, Cindy, right before the break, I asked a question is, for our listeners who may be struggling, they're going, I don't get it, Cindy, Linda, how can you lead in and trust with all the bull going on in the world? What would you say, Cindy?
Well, I think there's a number of activities and actions. Some of them are very practical. Some of them are more spiritual and energetic. So I always encourage people to find a center. Find a place within your body where you feel at home, no matter what's happening outside of you. So my center, for instance, is in the middle of my heart. So if I can remember that, if I feel thrown, you know, when I'm like, ooh, I'm back in my pattern, or this person just said this to me, I've learned to instinctively and instantly use my breath, take one quick breath. I don't have time to go meditate for an hour if I'm off my game. I go, breathe in, go into the center of your heart. Now stay there, Cindy. So get a center and practice going back there when you're not stressed. So it's easier to go back there when you are stressed. So I think that's the first thing. I think for some people, when they're under a lot of long-term stress, maybe they're taking care, you know, of a few kids at home and they're housebound, or they can't see their parents, or they can't get to their job or whatever, it's okay to find some diversions that don't include eating an entire chocolate cake, which is fun, right? So if I start to get nervous, and I do this in my everyday life, not just any something that's, you know, around all the fear that's here and that, you know, is the climate going to be fixed or all this kind of stuff, I have a handful of diversions that are healthy and I just go do them. I walk my dogs a lot. They get so many walks these days. I actually like vacuuming. I know most people don't. I'll vacuum in the middle of the day. I'll go, you know what? I'm just going to vacuum. I'll read.
I find it relaxing, though. I feel like it shifts energy.
It is. I'll go vacuum. I'll do something that's a diversion. So get yourself out of your rut, and then you can come back at it. And I think the third area is more relational. Call somebody, reach out. I don't even care if that means binge watching for an hour or two. If you believe those characters are your friends, turn them into your friends for a while if you can't get a real person. But you know, we have guides. We have spiritual guides.
Yeah.
And I use mine constantly. Like, I'll just go, send me a sign, because I'm stubborn. I'm Norwegian. So I'll say, look, I ain't going to be able to get through to you because I'm in panic or I'm tired or this or that. So get a message to me however you need to get it, and I'll pay attention. So those are the moments when you read a book, it's like you can feel them going, read that paragraph, or or they get the message through. They get the book to fall on your head that you need to pay attention to. Or they get the character on the binge watching to say exactly what you need to hear. All our guides are miraculous. They will get a message through if you give them permission.
Oh, I love it, because I personally believe that, you know, we have I call it divine support team, and that we can call it at any time. But I received, that's why I laughed when you said about the book. I will have like just a sentence jump off the page and I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, and then you hear it in a song and then you hear it at the grocery store, it'd be the same line. And it's like, okay, I got it the first time. You know, and I kind of may have that joking, loving energy. It's like the friend. So I love the three that you shared. So one is always find your center. Two was healthy diversion. Stay away from the chocolate cake and alcohol and all of that. And three is relational. And for me, it's my heart is my center space too. My heart and my breath. Because sometimes I can feel that if I'm holding my breath and I'm like, oh, what's going on? You pick up something today? And the vacuuming, that's not strange. I'm with you. It helps shift energy. I like to see the patterns in the rug. And it's healing. So I want to talk about your book, because right now there's a lot of people experiencing trauma. I think we all experience stress right now. So let's talk about what led you to write Energy Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Chronic Illness.
Well, ironically, it was not the pandemic, because you have to start a book a couple years before it's going to get published.
But it was meant to be born right now.
Oh, my stars. So I have been gathering this material, which includes information about our biology, about our hormones, about what happens in the body, as well as in the subtle realm, when we become traumatized and when trauma can lead to issues like allergies, addictions, autoimmune disorders, etc. So I've been working with this information for years and years and years. And I approached Llewellyn, the publisher, and I said, can I write this book? Because I think I have a unique approach that's going to bring together the biological, the scientific, and the subtle, and the spiritual. And they were like, go ahead and do it. It was very complicated. It was not an easy book to write, partially because while I was writing it, my mother was in the last stages of her life, and then dying, and then dead. And so I had all this overwhelming stuff happening, which was sort of almost a perfect time to write a book about stress also. And when they got the galleys, or that's what we used to call them in the old days, you know, the proofs back for the book, the pandemic had just hit. Yeah. And my editor said, look, it was like April, you know, of 2020 that I got these proofs back. And she goes, you've got 16 pages. You can put whatever you want in there about the pandemic. So I was able to add that information. I had come up with a couple very neat healing techniques to work actually with the virus and provide energetic, you know, around your energy field protection. So it was really a spot on set of timing. And I'm like, I never would have guessed that. There's the intuition comes as you need it. I just knew I needed to approach them with, can I write this book? So I didn't know why. It was sort of like, I thought it was about me, right? Like, I want to do this. And it was really not about me. It was about the world and the need for some of this information at the perfect spot on time.
Exactly. It's like your divine support team said, let's do this. You might have thought it was for one reason, but I believe our divine support team sees the full picture of all that's to come, right? And guides us towards our next step, as we were talking about earlier. It knew, Cindy, that this book needed to be written to help people navigate their journey during this time. So I'm so glad that you followed the intuition.
Oh, thank you. And you know, I've learned this is sort of part B to dealing with stress on a relational basis, that we can be other people's healers and saints and guides too. So I like to pay attention to if I'm stirred to do something for somebody or help them out or approach like, hey, I want to write this book or whatever. Like, we're part of the Divine's team too. I mean, one funny story is my oldest son and his partner, they've been together 6 years, but about 2 years ago, I just had this weird feeling I needed to buy them a red blender. All right. Like a Breville. I don't know how to say it because I don't cook. Like a red Breville, whatever it is, blender. And I'm like, why am I supposed to buy them a red blender? And I'm like, I didn't get an answer. So I ordered one at Williamson Sonoma and I sent it to them. No gift, right? I'm just like, oh, I'm going to send them this red blender. My son called me up and he goes, did you send us a blender? And I go, yeah, I did. And he goes, why'd you do that? And I said, I don't know. I just felt like, and he goes, Mom, we were just talking a week ago that we really wanted to get this red Breville, whatever it's called, blender. And then it showed up. We didn't have money.
They must have been like, what just happened? This magically manifested, but you were so tuned in. But here's what I love about that story. You listened. I believe, and I try to tell people my journey, that the info is always there. They're always trying to support us. But we are so busy and so disconnected and so, I don't know, disconnected from our soul that we don't even hear it. But you hear it and you take action on it. And that's the missing piece for people. They're all receiving. Do you believe that everyone is always receiving their divine support and next steps? It's just they have to learn to decipher the language?
Yes, we're always being given to, we're always receiving. And sometimes that makes people nervous. They're like, well, how do I know? Or how do I know it's fact versus fantasy, or it's really my intuition? It's like, the most important thing is don't be scared to find out. I mean, like, go, what do I have to lose? And hey, I just had this feeling, I'm going to do it. I mean, we're so scared of our lives. We're so scared to be alive. You know, we're so scared to kind of go for it, or go, I don't know, that feels right, so I'm just going to do it. And I have to admit, I was a little nervous about the blender. I'm like, this seems crazy. And I'm like, well, my son already thinks I'm sort of crazy, so who cares?
Well, imagine their faces, right? Because now I'll say the gift that I see in this. This young couple now says, wow, there is power in the divine, right? There is power in our intuition, because they just saw something that they had in their energy field come to manifest, all because you listen. So maybe that will get them to start listening too.
And they have been doing a lot more of that. I mean, it's interesting to hear their languaging. They're delightful people. Like, I don't know, I just sensed I needed to do this. Or, yeah, this was the right dog for us to adopt. That's it. That's how it shows up. That's how intuition shows up in our lives. It doesn't always come in a banner, right? We don't always get that, whoa, knock your socks off dream. We don't always hear a voice. We, most of the time, it's nudges, feelings, senses. You know what I mean? It's just sort of that prompting. And that's why it's like, don't be scared of that stuff. Just go with it and have a sense of adventure. Like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen when I do this.
And that makes life magical. And we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, Cindy, I want to talk about cultivating joy in different ways we can do it, even in the midst of this chaos. So we'll be back in a moment. I'm with Cindy Dale of CindyDale.com. Hold on, and we'll be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you being called to step into your truth and embrace your divinity? Are you ready to align your heart and soul, live an authentic life, and become a divine magnet for love and abundance? It's time to listen to your inner wisdom and clear the blocks holding you back from your best life. Leading intuitive prosperity coach, Akashic Records practitioner, and evidential medium Jamie Hearn of liveyourdivinity.com empowers and supports spiritual women like you to align your inner and outer worlds, embrace your soul's truth, and live your divinity. Through her intuitive gifts, grounded wisdom, and empowered coaching, Jamie guides women back into sacred alignment with their truth. Visit liveyourdivinity.com to learn more about Jamie's empowering programs and to schedule an Akashic Record reading.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. Welcome back. I'm with Cindy Dale today, and we've been having a delicious conversation about all my favorite topics, and I know you're enjoying it too. So, Cindy, we'll come full circle in our final segment and talk about joy. Are there some ways that our listeners can cultivate joy even in the midst of all this chaos?
I think one of the first steps is to, and there's two parts to this, is to give yourself permission to recognize when you're happy. And that's, people may go, what? That shouldn't be so hard. But for some of us, that is, because we might be so used to feeling stressed and scattered and scared and angry or this or that, that joy can get kind of shrunk or shrink wrapped. And so we've got to know what it feels like in our body so we can take it out to play. And you know, when I was growing up, I actually got in trouble when I was happy. And in fact, I just worked with a client today who had the same situation. My family would get mad at me. I would get sent to my room if I was happy about something. So I had to start learning what joy felt in my body, like, oh, it's this giggle feeling, or it's this calm feeling, or, oh, joy is relief sometimes, or being satisfied, or feeling full of myself, or like, you know, that feeling of I got it. There's a lot of facets to joy. So start acquainting yourself with them. And perhaps part B, tell yourself it's okay to have them also. Because sometimes if other people are unhappy, we can actually guilt ourselves if we're happy. Like, well, no one else is happy, so maybe I shouldn't be happy right now. So that's really the first step, A and B, recognize it. B, start being okay with your moments of joy.
So true. And something that you said in a moment ago, at the beginning of the pandemic, I was happy. I was still experiencing happiness, joy, and I felt guilty. But like, is something wrong with me? How can I be feeling joyful in this moment? It was a guilt of, who am I to feel this when all this is going on? And then I had to heal that. Do you have any clients that struggled with that too?
Absolutely. It's a very,
I felt like, what is wrong with me? And now I said, no, this is the energy I need to bring to the world. Love, joy, inner peace. I want to add that to the world. I don't want to add the other energies to the world. But the guilt,
well, depression. Exactly. Guilt catches, depression catches. I mean, I had a friend who once said depression is the world's most communicable disease, right?
Well, so, especially with young people, like 16 to 25.
Oh, so much so. And so like you're saying, joy is communicable too. So if we can just like appease the guilt and say, it's okay, I have compassion, that this is sort of scary for me to feel happy, and we work with that and we're kind with ourselves, that's going to give us the breath and the time that we need to let the joy arise and to feel it. And so then we can cultivate it. We can make choices in the moment. Like, am I going to focus on the toast burned? I mean, I really don't cook. So I don't, you know, if I ruin a meal, I don't feel bad. I'm like, well, there goes another meal, right? So then I just decide what I'm going to do to make myself happier, which might be, so you know what? I'm going to eat the broccoli, and maybe this time I'll put in the nitrate-free bacon also, so I can feel really happy that my other meal, you know, got destroyed. So choose the joyous paths. Choose those little things. Wear the socks underneath your suit that make you feel giggly. I mean, wear your Winnie the Pooh socks. Or like for me, when I bring my dogs out in the morning, I get up really early. I run my dogs. And I like to put these little lights on them, so they look like little Christmas ornaments running around in the dark. And that makes me happy. They don't care. They're like, whatever, right?
It's happy to be inside.
They're hunting squirrel. They don't need to look like Christmas ornaments. But when I look at them, when they're running around in the dark, first of all, I can see where they are. And second, I just feel happy because there's these little lights running around in the dog park. So I build in these tiny little things of joy very deliberately that give me a laugh or give me a giggle or make me lighten myself up too.
You know, an old friend, Shan Vanderleek, because I want to make sure I give her credit. About 10 years ago, she wrote an article for Aspire, and she's also a close friend, called Joy Spotting. And she said, be a joy spotter. Like, look for moments of joy, right? Because what you look for, you will find. Like you with the lights on the dog. Me, it's just like I'm sitting out here now taping our show, looking out at the water, seeing the sparkles, you know, as we're speaking. That's joyful for me. And I love what she said about joy spotting, because it's, you'll find more of what you're looking for, what you're focused on, right?
Oh, we do. You know, where, you know, it's sort of that attention, intention kind of thing. You know, what you give attention to, that's what you create your intentions out of. When you set an intention, that will help you pay attention to what you want to. But there's just so many things to be happy about. And I was like you too, when the pandemic struck, I mean, after the first week or two where I'm like calming the fear, I was like, you know what? I'm like pretty happy. I can get more clients in. I'm having fun. Like, I set up a garage gym for my son who was stuck at home, you know, for 6 months, but other baseball pitchers were too. So we set up a gym. I liked having the boys in and out. They're a hoot and a half. 21-year-old boys are like some of the funniest creatures on this planet. I mean, they just are.
My grandson's 20, so I agree.
You get it.
Yeah, it's a joy to be around too.
Oh, they are. And they'd come in and talk to me. And, you know, I'd find myself like being sort of the Grandma Moses, helping them figure things out. And I'm like, I wouldn't have had this experience unless this experience was happening. And having compassion for the people not having these happy moments. But that I didn't have to sacrifice my own happy moments because other people weren't happy.
That's where I came to peace too. How I came to peace is what you just said is, wait a minute, Lynn, your joy doesn't mean you don't have compassion. And that shifted everything for me as it did for you is, I have compassion, but I can't give up my inner peace. And I think too, I was so focused on, you know what? Families are connecting more now, right? They're having dinner at the table for some families. That maybe that hasn't happened in a decade. So I started seeing so many changes that were positive in this slowing down, right? And I think too, it's all the language we use. I chose not to see myself as quarantining. I chose to see it as, I called it sacred cocooning. And that shifts the energy of it there so much too. So Dana and I said, no, you know, we're sacred cocooning. And that felt more loving and nurturing. And that made it easier to go through too.
And doesn't it, when we shift that perspective? I still remember during the first, you know, we had 3-4 months of really heavy lockdown. And my son looked at me one day and he goes, you know, Mom, I never knew there were so many dogs in the neighborhood. Because suddenly people were walking them.
People were actually walking and leaving their houses. That was another big thing that we noticed. We notice the same thing. It's like, where did all these people come from? Some of these neighbors we haven't ever seen.
I know. And then people would laugh and they would wave. And I was like, wow, there's like a real neighborhood thing going on here. So there were so many magic moments, and there were, you know, and it's still good in the middle of this seeking and the owning of joy to let ourselves also kind of go down where the pain is. So it's sort of like, if you can hold your joy, you can also be held to do the deeper work, to do the sacred work of cleaning where there's been fears, or feeling the old feelings of trauma so they can come to the light and be gone once and for all. And so I believe the more joy we have, the deeper we can go, the healthier we can be, and ironically, the happier we become on a consistent basis.
Oh, I so agree, my friend. I so agree. I am so grateful for our time together. We could fill another 2 hours. I have loved our conversation and sharing your wisdom with our audience. I want to invite everyone, visit cindydale.com. Learn more about all of her books. You will find so much content, supportive content, resources, programs that Cindy offers, as well as her new book, Energy Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Chronic Illness. I am excited to say that Cindy will be the cover feature for the October-November issue of Aspire magazine, which will be released on, which was released on August, I'm sorry, October 6th. So again, Cindy, thank you, thank you. Love your the work you're doing in the world. Love that you are sharing your light and giving us all so much wisdom that we can use in our own lives. So thank
you. Blessings to you and healing, only healing energy for that surgery also.
Thank you. Thank you. I take that in. And until next time, everyone, choose love, choose joy, choose gratitude, my friends.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.